CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It is Friday morning. We're already at the, oh my God, the 5th of August already. Holy shit, feels like just yesterday we were complaining about how July just snuck past, and here we are like a week down in August. It's madness. Ben hates this shit because he's like, well, you have a calendar, obviously. What do you think is going to happen in like Monday to Friday? It's still, it's something I deal with. I mean, what can we say? All right, everybody, in, on, like, subscribe, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to get through all that shit right at the beginning of my day. But it's important, and we have to talk about it. So, let's go. Do the likes and subscribes and all that stuff, please. And let's get cracking. We've got a busy day ahead of us. Everybody's got things to do, people to see, and places to go, and we're going to make it count. All right. Oh, what can I tell you? First things first, yesterday, straight after the show, I stupidly agreed to let my sister bring her puppy here. She has a little corgi puppy. It's the cutest little thing you've ever seen. Let me see if I can actually get you a picture of this crazy little animal. And she brought it here for me to look after. Which, I mean, I volunteered for this, so I have no one to blame but myself, right? And this is a very, very cute little dog. But two puppies, oh my God, it exponentially increases the amount of work that you have to do. And this little thing is just, she's properly cute. She's like a little bit younger than my Alice. I'm used to like one dog, and she behaves herself mostly and, you know, she's very sweet and good and all of that stuff. This little thing is a terror. It just seems to operate with only itself as the only rule maker, and it does whatever it wants. It's this big. It's tiny. It looks like a bunny crossed with a bear crossed with a fox. And, you know, this is also why my sister-in-law always says to me, oh, well, why don't you look after your nephews more? Why don't you offer to take them, you know, away for a weekend or whatever. I'm like, well, because it's really hard work and I didn't choose to be a parent. So just because you have this responsibility doesn't mean I have to opt in automatically for it. And don't get me wrong, I love my little nephews. I love my sister's little puppy. They're all awesome. I don't equate them by any means either. Obviously, the humans are a little bit more interesting and more complicated than the dogs. But it's still hard work, and it's work that I didn't select. So I spent most of the morning doing that. And by the way, you then write off your whole morning because there is just no way that you can get other things done when you're either looking after a child, which is a full-time fucking job, or a little dog, which is also a full-time job. So I was doing both of those, and it was a killer, an absolute killer. We are getting Ben Karpinski on a little bit later on. David says, have you got facial hair? Yep, that's one of the things that Ben and I agreed last Friday. We were going to grow our beards until I think next Friday is the cutoff that we agreed. I made a note in my diary, which means that is how long I'm going to have to keep doing this stuff. I have to tell you, this is the longest I've ever grown a beard or moustache, and I don't like it. It may work, but we'll talk about that with Ben later on. Some people, you know, it makes them feel more manly. Some people, it makes them feel less, like, tidy and groomed and all of that shit. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But I've got another week of this from today, so let's see how it goes. It's definitely different. All right. Cliff Central is not as busy as Xi Jinping is today. Oh, yeah. He's got lots to work out. Alice. She's got a little squeaky toy, which is not the best thing for her to be doing during the show. So Xi Jinping obviously is busy sorting out the whole Nancy Pelosi saga, but the, you know, this whole Taiwan thing has got China on high alert. Just let me sort this out. Alice! No! Jesus. I could have all the things that she has to play with today. It has to be that one. Gareth, your skin is so pale and your beard is so blonde that I legit cannot see it. Oh, thank you, Carl. Very nice. So now you have some sympathy for parents who worked from home during lockdown. Oh, are you kidding? Carl, Like, I'm going to offer an unreserved apology if I said anything that in any way indicated that I was less than sympathetic. So, yes, totally understand. I bow down before parents who manage to look after kids and do work during lockdown. Must have been the hardest thing ever. A beard is a flavor saver. There's always leftovers available. That's what Karen's Boring says. It's disgusting. And, it's one of the reasons I've never really liked beards. It's like I read The Twits when I was a kid, Roald Dahl's The Twits, and Mr. Twit had this beard. And Roald Dahl describes in detail how Mr. Twit would find savory snacks in his beard from Alice. No. When he would eat lunch, stuff crumbs and like leftovers and bits and pieces would fall in his beard and then he'd eat them later. Which was so gross, and I remember as a kid just being horrified by that. Might have completely colored my experience of what beards are and do. And maybe that's why I avoided it for a long time. If you want to do a psychoanalysis of maybe why I don't like beards. Anyway, it's happening, so we'll see where it goes. So a few things for this morning. I know that I'm not a psychologist, but we deal with, everybody does, right, in conversation, tons and tons of psychological ideas, psychological discussions. It's the kind of conversation everybody thinks they can have. And frankly, why can't we? There are a lot of psychologists who are just humanities degree graduates. They don't necessarily know more than someone who's got a degree in bullshit like, social anthropology or language or poetry or, lesbian dance theory. So I don't have a whole lot of respect out of the box for people who have humanities degrees. I say that as someone who has one. So I'm allowed to be ironic about it. Psychiatry, different thing. You have to be a doctor. You prescribe medicine. That's why I love having Chris Szabo on. And as you know, Dr. Hanan is also a doctor of psychology. So it's different when you get to master's and doctor level. So that I'm totally for. Only thing is, I got thinking the other day about how psychologists, psychiatrists, and the entire pharmaceutical industry has started to make money out of, and they haven't just started, they've been making money for decades, for generations, out of making people feel like they're not mentally healthy or okay, just because they're not happy all the time. So what I mean is, if you determine that the norm is that you should be perfectly happy, bouncy, wake up in the morning feeling good, go to sleep at night feeling great, in between, smile, dance, have a great day. It occurs to me that that isn't actually what life is. It's also not what life serves up to most people. So we're made to feel bad if we are not happy all the time. Yet happy should not be considered the default. And again, I know I'm treading in dangerous territory here because there are people who've studied this their whole life long. There are people who've put together research papers on this. There are people who have, taken medicine their whole life to feel good about being unhappy for most of the day or week or month or year or life. And the reality is that life is a pretty fucking difficult roller coaster for all of us. I don't know anyone who has one of those charmed existences. I don't personally know anyone where everything has always been terrific, where all the things have always gone their way, where they wake up feeling happy and they go to sleep feeling happy, and in between the whole day they're always happy. And yet we are told, if you're anything but perfectly happy all the time, you've got a problem. You need to be on meds. You need to see somebody. You need to evaluate your life. There's something wrong, etc., etc. So I got to thinking about this, and it made no sense to me at all that somewhere along the journey, human beings who were studying the mind decided that anything outside of happy was diseased. There was a mel, there was a problem there. And everything that was happy, everything that was, you know, excitable, that was considered the default. Now, as someone, and I've spoken about this in the show before, as someone who really is happy most of the time, I don't think that that is the case for most people. I'm very, very lucky. I genuinely feel like, you know, I was born with a brain chemistry that I'm hugely reticent to play with, which is why I don't, you know, indulge in substance abuse or any of that stuff. I'm terrified of upsetting the mess. Sorry, not the mess, the mix of chemicals and turning it into a mess in my brain. I love the way I feel, and I'm very lucky to be, and I do believe it's luck, because it's a combination of genes, environment, resources, the, you know, circumstances, so family, friends, good relationships, material comfort, all of that stuff. Some people have no control over those things because sometimes through no fault of their own, and they're not happy, right? And they somehow think, oh, that's a problem. I need to be on antidepressants. And I bring all this up because this amazing thing happened the other day in the world of psychology, which people may or may not know about, but psychiatry and psychology in this case, they've decided to be very honest about, for the first time ever, the chemical theory of depression. You know how you and I have been told for years that seriously depressed people have too little serotonin, and the reason that they are depressed and they feel depressed is because of the serotonin deficiency. And they've been treating that with SSRIs for 20, 30, 40 years. And it turns out, and this is a study which I'm sure the pharmaceutical companies were not in a hurry to have published, turns out that actually they have never sufficiently demonstrated a link between serotonin deficiency and depression. It's actually never been proven that that is the cause of so many people being put on antidepressants. Now, as much as I am an amateur in this world, I don't understand any of it, I have nothing but a pedestrian's opinion about all of it, it suddenly occurred to me when that was published that there may be all kinds of things that we treat as diseases these days, that we treat as problems that need a medical solution. We medicalize things which actually might not be problems. They may just be part of the human condition. Other things may be addictions. There are probably addictions that are really bad for you. We know, we've discussed on the show a million times, how some people are addicted to exercise. Some people are addicted to work. You know, you get work addicts. And society has no judgment in a negative sense for people who are addicted to work. So you have to be really careful when you decide what the parameters are for a problem or for a malady, something that needs a solution. And I feel like there may be many other areas that in the future are revealed as being things that we've considered problems, which actually are not. They're just part of the human condition. I've never been chemically depressed, so I don't know what I'm talking about in that respect. But I don't believe, contrary to this lived experience idea that everybody's throwing around these days, that you actually have to experience something in order to be able to objectively assess it. That's wildly and demonstrably untrue. Just because someone has experienced something does not give them any more grounds to be able to evaluate it objectively. In fact, you could argue that objectively they have less ability to evaluate it because your subjective experience makes you think that you have more information and intel and data and you know, relevant, useful kind of inputs than people who are looking at it objectively from the outside. I mean, you can look at something like alcoholism, for example. You don't have to be an alcoholic to see it in other people. You don't have to be a gambling addict in order to pick up that other people are a gambling addict. And I feel like these days in society, there's such a premium put on lived experience because people want to feel special. They want to feel important. They want to feel like they have some understanding and some knowledge and some insight into things, which frankly, they might have none. You know, a lot of people just exist and a lot of people develop in a completely organic and not particularly engaged way. So you could be going through something and you're actually completely hopeless at describing what you're going through. There are many, many people I can think of just in my own life who have no ability to evaluate the world based on experience because their ability to articulate that experience is much reduced. So if you are dealing with a depressed person, for example, but they can't really describe, maybe they don't have the language, maybe they don't have the, there's a certain amount of creative disposition that has to come to the fore if you describe something accurately. Maybe they can't do that. And I keep thinking that all of this stuff, when you look at it objectively from the outside, makes people's personal experiences seem less and less valuable, a research tool. And it turns out it's not just your own experience, but even the experience of the objective scientists that isn't necessarily the most perfect tool for evaluating this stuff. Hence again, this new and developing theory that actually a lot of depression isn't caused by the lack of serotonin, that psychiatrists and psychologists have told us for most of my adult life is the cause. So we can get into that. We can talk some more about it, but I just wanted to get that off my chest this morning. There are a couple of stories in the news I also want to look at today, so let's go to some of those. It's Friday, so we don't want to get too heavy, and I certainly don't want to get too political. A lot of people here saying some funny things in the comments about how, hang on a second, my biggest disease, here we go, Corona's boring, is the government. They're addicted to my money. I hope someone makes a pill to take it away soon. Oh, if only, right? I mean, you're not going to get rid of them. They're part of your life, whether you like it or not. Tracy says some mental diseases are chemically based, while some are neurological, where your neurotransmitters are misfiring. But isn't that chemistry? Tracy, I'm not sure where you're drawing a gray distinction in a black and white world. That doesn't really figure for me, but I kind of know what you're aiming at. Theron says, I need to set boundaries all the time because other people's shit overwhelms me. It's all about energy transfer. I got in trouble because at the time I was studying psychology. Well, you don't want to be anyone's psychologist unless you're being paid. You know, Dr. Hanan will tell you that. 100%, I've always thought that psychiatrists are drug-pushing addicts themselves. Well, again, you got to be careful not to generalize because there are people who got into this and who've studied it and who know a huge amount about how the human mind works. Of course, we never know all of it. We still don't know a tenth of what we're supposed to know about the brain as opposed to the way we know, for example, how the liver works, the heart, the spleen, even the kidneys. The brain is still a mystery to humans. We haven't completely figured that shit out, and we won't during our lifetime. Exercise definitely seems to have proved itself as a technique to ward off depression, says Monique. I think it has, but that has to do with something that a lot of people have brought up this morning, actually, which I think is a very good point. Purpose, meaning, you know, if you don't have anything to do, if you don't have anything to look forward to, if you don't have anything to live for, yes, you're gonna get depressed. I hate to break it to you, but that's just the beginning of your misery. You have to have something to live for. Could be your kid, could be your wife, girlfriend, it could be your job, it could be a combination of those things, it could be a passion project, a hobby, it could be pretty much anything. But if you have no reason to wake up in the morning, you're buggering around. Your life is going to be terrifically fucking unhappy. Propaganda says it's because you're single. I wonder. Corona's boring says two concerts 3 times a day will turn that frown upside down. Jesus. Two concerts 3 times a day. I've only ever taken concerta when I was studying. And this is long after varsity. It's like when I had to study for a course, for example, that I was doing. And that shit like keeps you awake. If you're taking 3 times a day, 2 of them 3 times a day, Corona's boring. You must be buzzing like a fucking car battery. Derek says, I'm a social worker. Do you want to insult me too? Sure. Why not? Fortunately, these days, says Parallel Parking, if you are not happy, there is another TikTok to watch. Well, I can't wait for you to hear this interview with Johan Hari, who came into the studio on Tuesday. And we talked for probably an hour, maybe a little bit more, about focus and about paying attention, something which humans are struggling with more than ever in the year 2022. And I think it's something that a lot of people are powerless to resist. This idea of, screens, being addicted to screens, it's a major, major problem. In the very beginning of his book, Johan Hari talks about his godson who is addicted to screens and how he tackles that with him as someone who cares about him, right? And what it actually does, he observes this from, the point of view of being someone who cares, but he also observes it as a writer. So he writes about it like somebody who, for example, would be, taking down notes. These are his behaviors because he's on a screen the whole time. This is how his concentration span has dropped. This is what he does when he's bored, anxious, lonely, sad, grabs the phone, starts looking at the screen. And Johan talks about actual, and this is what I love about this book, by the way, besides the storytelling, which is immaculate, he also talks about the way that he has figured you can lower your dependence on technology and on distraction. Like he talked about, for example, the average person doing a job of work, if you're distracted by a WhatsApp, by someone coming and talking to you while you're involved in a task, a screen with the news on, or something else, he said it takes you 23 minutes to get back to where you were in the task, to get the level of mental acuity and engagement that you were at. This is why when people say to you, oh, you didn't reply to my message, what are you, too busy? Your answer should be yeah, because even though it'll take me 2 seconds to reply to your stupid WhatsApp, it's going to take me 23 minutes to get back into the flow that I was in while I was doing really valuable work. So in other words, don't respond to the messages just because they come through. People can wait. It'll be fine. I love this focus feature on my phone. I don't know if you found it yet or whether you use it. I think we discussed this briefly with Lebang the other day. But if you go onto your phone, there's a new iPhone anyway. There's a new feature called Focus. And you can set up different ones. Holiday, family, work, whatever it might be. And you can actually choose which apps will be able to send you notifications and which people will be able to send you notifications. And the rest will just quietly go about their business. They won't buzz. It won't appear on the screen. You'll be completely removed from that stuff for the time that you've decided to be on that Focus profile. So try it out. Tracy said, oh, here we go. Carl's having a go at Derek, the social worker, says, I used to work with Derek. That fat little bitch is not a social worker. Give him no sympathy. Love it. Our audience, the meanest people in the world. CliffCentral.com.